amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight, and what a blessing it's already been. Just being in church, when we have opportunity to be in church, you always want to take advantage of that opportunity, because as God opens an opportunity, he has something for us. And I trust that you've already been blessed just by being in services tonight, and by the special music, the congregation, and just by one another's presence. It's an encouragement every time we're able to assemble ourselves together. If you got your Bibles with you tonight, go ahead and look with me to the book of Ruth in chapter 2. Ruth in chapter 2, we've been studying on the life of Ruth here on Wednesday nights, and we've seen several things already up to this point. First of all, when you start reading it, you might think it is more about Naomi than it is about Ruth. Naomi has a big part to play throughout the book of Ruth, but it is Ruth who is the main character. As you read the book of Ruth, look at it from Ruth's perspective, and she was a lost Moabitess, lost, raised to believe in multiple gods. Her main god would have been the god of Baal, Baal worship. So she was raised with a different set of principles, a different set of morality. She was raised a lost woman. God knew her. She did not know God, but God was very much aware of her. And so we find that through circumstances, don't have time to go through all that, through the circumstances, even of a backslidden Christian family there, if you will, she was reached, and she was drawn to Naomi. Her only contact and only to God was through Naomi. And so she wanted to receive Naomi's God. She received Naomi's God. She followed Naomi back to Bethlehem. Now they're in Bethlehem, back in the will of God as far as Naomi's concerned, but they're widows, destitute, not having any provisions. And she was learning of the ways of God, and she learned that God had made provisions for widows and the poor to glean after the reapers. And so she was looking to be obedient, to do what God had revealed to her that she needed to do, still somewhat of a young believer, not knowing all the things of God. And she goes into following God's lead. She goes to the field to glean after the reapers. She gets permission to glean. As a Moabitess, that was an accomplishment. But then she meets the owner of that field, which was Boaz. When Boaz heard of her, he knew that he would be a kinsman redeemer for her. He knew that he had that position because of Naomi. Ruth did not know that. She did not know that. And so he converses with Ruth, and then Ruth converses with him. And just making a long story short, just getting you to where we're at tonight, as Ruth addresses Boaz, she wants his favor. She's thankful for what he's already shown her, allowing her to reap in his fields. Verse 13, the Bible says this, "Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids." She's a Moabitess, but Boaz had shown her favor. Excuse me. Favor is grace. Unmerited favor of God. And so as we looked at this, he was her redeemer, her kinsman redeemer. And she looks to him and she wants all of the favor that he has to show to her. Wow. Can I tell you, as we look to our redeemer, we should ask for all the favor that God has for us. We've seen that last week. That's what we preached on, is not only saving grace, but serving grace. The help, the presence, the kindness, the love, the grace of God is sufficient for whatever it is that we are faced with. Amen. Tremendous thought, tremendous truth right there. Biblical principle that we see in Ruth and her redeemer, Boaz, and as we as Christians today can apply that very same biblical principle, because it's New Testament truth concerning the grace of God. Well, tonight we're looking at the next passage of Scripture. Let's look at verse 15 and we'll read down to the end of the chapter, chapter 2. So stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. Everybody plugged in tonight? That was not everybody. You made it here. Praise the Lord for that. It's Wednesday night, I know. And everyone has had their share of battles already this week. And you'll have your share of battles as you try to complete the week. Amen. But tonight, you're here to get what God has for us. And it's exactly what we'll need, amen, to overcome what we've already faced and to be prepared for whatever we have yet in front of us. Amen. And so let's plug into what God has for us here as we read this. Ruth chapter 2, verse 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephod of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. Now that's what she received from Boaz, as Boaz invited her to eat lunch with them, and he actually served her. And so she kept some of that back to take to Naomi. And her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." Speaking of her deceased husband, Elimelech. And Naomi said unto her, "The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." And Ruth the Moabitess said, "He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest." And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field." So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, it is a blessing, Lord, to have the privilege and the opportunity to be in church and to look into the holy word that you have preserved for us and now have given us an opportunity to present it and to be able to hear the word of God being taught and preached. We ask, God, that you would just continue to meet with us. And I pray that you'd give each one here that ear to hear exactly what they need to hear tonight. I pray that you'd empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, wow. Now she knows who Boaz is. Before, she just knew him. He was the Redeemer. He had revealed himself to her. And she looked at him as somebody that was comforting her and taking care of her as a Redeemer would. And she wanted to make sure that he knew, "I want all the favor that you have for me." She humbled herself and she said, "I want all that you have for me." What a blessing that was. Well, verse 15 and 16, Boaz commands his servants to take care of Ruth. Now what's happening? He's giving her all his favor. She asks for it. As God would have us to ask for grace. You can't get saved. You will not be able to receive saving grace unless you, of your own free will, ask God for it. It's a gift. He wants you to have it, but you have to call upon him. Amen. And not only do we ask for his saving grace, but God, I need grace to serve you to be the Christian you want me to be. I need grace every day to help me to face the battles, to face the temptations, to face the trials, whatever it might be that we have day to day. God has grace for that. And we have to be aware of God and ask for it. We have to be aware of God and realize how we need that. Humble ourselves and ask God for whatever it is that you have need of. Praise the Lord for that. Because as she asked him, then he was ready to give it. After he brings her to his own table, after he serves her from his own hands, and he gives her plenty, she had enough to suffice her, and she had enough not only to suffice her, to fill her up, but she put away some to take home to her mother-in-law. That's what the Bible tells us right there. So he gave her even beyond what she had need of so that she could give it to somebody else. Isn't that God? Isn't that how God, he causes our cup to overflow so that we can take what he's given to us and distribute it. Praise the Lord for that. Well, we see that biblical principle there. So Boaz commands his servants to take care of Ruth. Verse 15, and when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves. Now, they wouldn't have to do that. She's young. She doesn't understand all the laws of gleaning. But as they were there, he says, don't embarrass her. Don't get on to her. Let her get them. Let her glean even of the full sheaves. Reproach her not. Not only that, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose. He said, not only don't get on to her about it, let her do that, and I want you to even give her more than that. Not just what falls off, I want you to get handfuls and throw it out to her. And let her pick up the handfuls of this harvest that she would glean. And let her fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. And he's telling them how to take care of, and it's commanding them how to take care of Ruth. Can I tell you, God has unlimited resources. Sometimes we bring God into our own abilities. We bring God down to human abilities, and his abilities and his resources go far beyond that. In the book of Psalms in chapter 57, now this is a insight into how the Redeemer was taking care of Ruth, his Redeemer, her Redeemer. Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. This very same truth here and principle is to be applied. In Psalms chapter 57, the psalmist writes, be merciful unto me, O God. Are we praying for mercy? Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, and in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. The psalmist is going through some calamities, and he's needing the help of God. He's needing the help of his Redeemer, if you will. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. And that's a Selah. That means stop a minute, think on that. He's got resources in heaven that he can use that are far above any resource you have on earth. He's not limited to what is on earth. Amen. Divine intervention. The divine intervention of God. It says, God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Sends what we need when we need it. Go down to verse 6. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me into the midst whereof They are fallen themselves, Selah. My heart is fixed. God took care of his enemies. Now he says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Now praise the Lord for that. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians in chapter 3. Now that's Old Testament, Ruth and Boaz. I know it's symbol. It's symbolic of New Testament truth. It's principles. And now if we look over here in Ephesians in chapter 3, we'll see this given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ as part of Christianity, as part of our own life. The very same thing that Ruth is doing here and looking to Boaz, and Boaz is taking care of her because she asked him to, because she asked for his mercy, she asked for his grace, she asked for his favor. In Ephesians in chapter 3 in verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, the Spirit of God. If you're saved, you got the Spirit of God in you. Don't limit what the Spirit of God in you can do. Don't limit the peace that God can give you from within. Don't limit the joy that God can give you from within. Don't limit God from within you. Amen. Well, I can't be joyful. I'm going through this and this is happening and that's happening. I just can't be joyful. Yes, you can, because you got the joy of the Lord and it's your strength. Unless you let Satan blind you to it. Maybe you're focused on the wrong things. That's why you don't see the joy of the Lord that you have. Yeah, it's a blessing of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. It's for us today. Amen. It's been for Christianity for some 2,000 years, but it's for us today. And whatever the battles are that we are fighting, and we are going to continue to fight many battles. Christianity is being attacked, there's no doubt about it. In the United States of America, our values, our beliefs, and listen to me, as we go through those battles, God is there to give us the help that we need to stand where God wants us to stand. That's exactly what I was talking about. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Wow. Don't limit God's resources. Cry out for his favor. Yeah. If you're saved, you've cried out for his saving grace. Continue to cry out for that daily serving grace. Go back with me. That's what she's doing. And he gave it to her. He did it. He commanded his young men to watch out for her and provide for her. Verse 17 to verse 19, Ruth gets quite a haul. Yeah, quite a bit more than what any other reaper would have gotten on their own without the intervention from Boaz. Quite a bit there. She doesn't know this. She's new to Israel. She's new to God's plan for her life. She just wants all the grace this man has for her, all the favor. And now, even without realizing it, she's getting far more than any other gleaner would have received outside the favor of Boaz. Look at verse 17. So she gleaned in the field unto even, beat out that she had gleaned. And it was about an ephod of barley, somewhere around 25 pounds. That's quite a bit for a day's work gleaning in the field. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved. Not only did she see the grain, the 25 pounds of grain, but she also saw that she had a home-cooked meal. And she saved enough of the home-cooked meal after she had been sufficed, the Bible says, after she had been filled, she saved enough to give to her mother-in-law. Naomi. And so now she is eating this food, and she is looking at what Ruth had gleaned. She is familiar with the ways of the gleaners. She knows that, I don't know how you got that. She knows that something has happened. She couldn't quite put her finger on why, how that Ruth could go out in one day and bring back that kind of substance, if you will. And her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest?" That word wroughtest means worked. "Where have you worked, thou? Blessed he that did take knowledge of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought, the man's name with whom I worked for today is Boaz." Ruth pleasantly shocks Naomi by how much she had gleaned. Now, I love this because you can tell she was excited. She asks two questions and then gave a statement before Ruth was allowed to say anything. You know, somebody gets excited, you have so many questions that you want answered. Now look, she was so excited about what she saw. And now, because she had been worried, no doubt, she knew that Ruth was new. She didn't understand quite the laws of Israel. She was a Moabitess who has now converted to believe in the God of Israel. And so she's back in and she says, how does the God of Israel take care of the poor widows? Well, the way that they do, you go out and work. You go out and glean from the reapers. And so she said, "Hey, I'm healthy enough. I'm young enough. I'll go out and I'll work for us. I'll work and just pray that God leads me to where I need to go." God led her to the right field. Amen. Now, Naomi does not know what's going on. Ruth has been gone all day long, and she's probably wondering, I wonder if she's been abused. I wonder if she has been taken advantage of by some of the men out in the fields. Maybe they've even stoned her. Maybe they've killed her. She doesn't know what's going on. She didn't have a cell phone to call. And so you can imagine all day long, Ruth is not there. From early morning, and now it's late in the day, and Ruth is not there. And Naomi is somewhat worried. And then when she finally sees her, she comes back with 25 pounds of grain. And she brings to her a meal that she had left over. And she goes, "How did you do that? Where have you been? And who have you been working with and for?" She asked two questions there. She says, "Where hast thou gleaned today?" And then, "Where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." Ask her two questions. She didn't give her time to answer. And she says, "Boy, you've been blessed today." Now listen to me. Remember Ruth come back bitter. Naomi come back bitter. Ruth come back as a somewhat of a young Christian, somewhat of a young believer, not knowing, but noticing that her mother-in-law was a very bitter individual, but she had come back. She's back where God wanted her to be. God knows what we need and when we need it. It was the beginning of joy returning to Naomi. It was the first positive thing that's happened to her in some time. She'd been out of the will of God. They'd been running from the will of God. Her husband dies. She stays out of the will of God. Her two sons die. She decides, I've got to go back into the will of God. I've got to go back to Israel. Because God is real. God's the one that chastened us. God took my husband. He took my two children. She knew that. I couldn't tell her that. You couldn't tell her that, but she could tell us that. She knew that it was the sin that God was judging them by. And she now goes back, and she's no longer Naomi, but now she wants to be called Mara because she is bitter because she went out full. She comes back empty. And now she's thinking, well, God, you've taken Ruth. No, not heard from her all day long. Don't know what's going on with her. She'd probably come to the very rock bottom, but she had come back to God. She had now positioned herself for the joy to return. And the joy is starting to return. God knows where you're at. He knows what you need and exactly when you will need it. Now she thought she needed it way back when her husband died. She thought she needed it when her two sons died. She thought she needed it maybe when she first came back. No, no. God was working. But the joy didn't return then. The joy is returning now. It's coming. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what part of God's will you're focusing on tonight. You're in church on Wednesday night. Whether you wanted to come or not, you came. You knew it was God's will and you had the opportunity. You said, I'm going to take advantage of opportunities. I want God's will in my life. Listen to me. You came. You can just continue to do what you can do in knowing what God would have you to do. God knows what you need and when you'll need it. And your Redeemer will supply that. Yeah, He will. It's coming. Just keep looking for it. Just keep gleaning until it comes. Naomi is acknowledging God's leading of Boaz as a kinsman redeemer. She's rejoicing over what she brought back, rejoicing over all the grain, all the food, and what has happened. Now Ruth is back safe. That in itself would probably cause her, you know, just to rejoice over the fact she's not been abused, she's not dead in the field, she hasn't been raped, she's back, and she has been blessed. It can always get worse. Don't say this is as bad as it could get. No, it can get worse. She thought it was going to get worse. Yeah. God knew what she needed and when she needed it. Verse 20. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord. God is working through Boaz. God is working through Boaz, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. His kindness to the living, which would have been Naomi and Ruth. He knew he was their kinsman redeemer. To the dead would have been his connection to Naomi and Ruth, Elimelech, and their two sons. He's aware that they died. He was aware that they ran from God and they was out of God's will, but they came back. And Ruth came back with a desire to be under the wings of an almighty God. She had trusted in God, and he had already revealed that. Under whose wings thou art come to trust. That's what he revealed about Ruth. He's seen that in her. And God has him to bless them. It was God working in Boaz for him to do what he has done. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. You see, she had no thought of that in Moab. The idea of a kinsman being able to redeem her and help her, she had no thought of that in Moab. But look back there with me, chapter 1. Everybody's still with me tonight, right? Yeah. Her son, her husband died. Her two sons have died. The daughters come to her. She has no hope for them. She tells them to go back to their God. She's not thinking clearly. She's out of the will of God. Naomi, verse 11 says, and Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? I've lost everything. There's no hope for me. Are there yet any more sons in my womb and that they may be your husbands? She's not thinking about a redeemer, a kinsman redeemer. She's thinking about a husband for them. Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? She had no thought of the kinsman redeemer. It was all on her. What can I do for you? I can't do nothing for you. When you're out of the will of God, you're blinded to the things that you need to know. You're blinded to the spiritual things that God has for us. When you're outside the will of God, listen to me, New Testament Christianity, you are grieving the Holy Spirit that is within you, that gives you the power, that gives you the peace, that gives you the joy that you'll need to make it through whatever it is that you're facing. She didn't have it because she was just focused on what she could do. If it was left up to you, you're done. You can't fix it. But if you're saved, you don't have to. Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 30. This is the very same principle been revealed to us. She just looked to herself. She had blocked out the power of God that was in her. New Testament Christianity, that is. Ephesians 4, Paul writes and he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption, till you get redeemed, until the end of your life. Jesus Christ has given to you another comforter. He dwells within you, and he is what you have need of no matter what you are facing. But if you're outside the will of God, you will block it out. You will be blinded to it. You'll not even consider it. Wow. She had no thought about a kinsman redeemer in Moab. Now go back with me to our story. This is what it is. It's an illustration of the very same things that we face today. This man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. This is the kinsman redeemer. She's aware of him now. The joy is coming back. She has hope. A kinsman redeemer, Old Testament, was able to rescue or salvage from a hopeless situation. Can I tell you, Jesus Christ rescues and salvages us from a hopeless, lost condition. Outside of Christ, there's no hope. You're on your way to a devil's hell. But he's able to redeem you. They could redeem land or family that had been sold into slavery to settle a debt. You see, in Israel, in the Old Testament, even by the law, if they had a debt, if they couldn't pay it, then they'd have to give their children into slavery to pay that debt. Or they would have to give their belongings and give their land to pay that debt. They couldn't just hold on to what they had and have a debt to be paid. They were required to pay their debts. If they could not, then a kinsman redeemer could step in. He could pay the debt to get the children back from slavery. He could pay the debt to get the land back to the original owners. A kinsman redeemer. Can I tell you, Jesus is a kinsman redeemer today. Yeah.
Maybe Satan's taken one of your children. You have a prodigal. The Redeemer can help you with that. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Maybe you've lost something. Satan has been beating you up. Maybe he's taken something from you. Can I tell you, Jesus can help with that. He can do more than you can do. He can go beyond where you can go. Amen. The kinsman redeemer, they could marry widows who had no children. Jesus can be a husband to a widow. My husband might be gone. Can I tell you? Jesus can step in. He can be a father to the fatherless. He can help with whatever it is that you've lost. That's a redeemer. See, the Old Testament law, if we go into that, you see all that God established, he knew ahead of time. This was a picture for what Jesus would fulfill in New Testament as a kinsman redeemer. Go down, we got to close. We got to quit here. Verse 21 to verse 23. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. Not in any other field. You have what you need in his field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest. And not only barley harvest, but of wheat harvest. And dwelt with her mother-in-law. Ruth realized that Boaz was all she needed. Yeah. Her Redeemer could protect her. Her Redeemer could provide for her. Stop looking other places. She would focus herself only on Boaz for her protection and for her provisions. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Do you have a need? Who are you looking to? Now, he might work through a job opportunity. He might work through a relative. He might work through a church. He might work through a friend. But who are you looking to? She would focus only on Boaz. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. While she was looking to her kinsman redeemer, she kept on gleaning because she knew that's what she could do while she stayed focused on Boaz. She just kept working. She kept gleaning. She gleaned into the end of barley harvest, and she didn't stop. But then she gleaned into the end of wheat harvest till there was no more opportunities to glean. She continued to do what she knew that she could do with one thought in mind. He's watching. I'm in Boaz's field, working alongside Boaz's maidens, And Boaz is watching just to see how hard of a worker I'll be, just to see the character of this lady, just to see if you'll look to another field or whether you'll be focused on the kinsman redeemer. Wow. What a powerful passage of scripture. The Redeemer is watching us. He is. Don't ever lose sight of that. He's in heaven sitting on the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us. And he's looking down and he says, all you have to do is ask. I have blessings up here. I have grace. I have favor. You got to look to me. You have to ask. You have to do what I have you to do, but just keep looking to me. I know what you need and when you'll need it. Just keep looking to your kinsman redeemer. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Yeah, that's what's happening. Are you looking in some other field? Are you praying and asking your Redeemer for whatever need you might have? Are you continuing to work as long as you know what God would have you do? Great, great message from Ruth and her Redeemer. Not going to have a musical invitation. Very seldom do we on Wednesday night, but there's always an invitation. There's an opportunity to respond to whatever God spoke to you about. If you have need, you can come to this altar. You can make an altar out of your pew. Just make sure that you acknowledge it before God who spoke to you tonight. Anyone else? And Father, we do bow before you. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in church tonight. And thank you for this book of Ruth. And God, not only learning of the historical truth, but how the biblical principles are applied even for us today. Thank you for our Redeemer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the sacrifice made on Calvary's cross, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that we would take advantage of it, look to you, yield to you, receive what you have for us. Now be with us tonight as we get ready to leave, get everyone home safely, bring us back at the next appointed hour in Jesus' name.